For our scripture reading this morning, let us turn to the first epistle general of Peter, chapter 1, the verses 13 through chapter 2, verse 10. 1 Peter 1, the verse 13 through chapter 2, verse 10. And there we read God's holy word. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead, and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile, and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, this allowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also, as lively stones, are built up in a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Therefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and the stone of stumbling, and the rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. So far, the reading of the Word of God. The text of the sermon is found in the portion we read in the first epistle of Peter, chapter 2, verse 2. where we read the text of the sermon, God's holy word, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word. Beloved congregation, our food industry is increasingly interested in healthy food. Some people try to eat organic food as much as possible since they believe this is healthier. Others are concerned whether they get enough vitamins and minerals. Some people don't care about healthy food at all. They're only interested in food that is tasty. They don't care much whether the food is nutritious and whether the ingredients are in line with the recommended daily amount. And children, maybe your mom sometimes puts healthy food on the table that you don't like at all. I hope you don't start grumbling, since we are so blessed with a great variety of food. Maybe you would like to see more junk food on the table. However, your mom cares for your body and health, so you have to eat what your mom presents. Food. We all need it to stay alive. It is the first thing you wanted after you were born. You drank so that you would grow in length and weight. For babies, there is only one type of food necessary, namely milk. And without milk, a baby cannot grow. Now, what about spiritual food? Are you sure that you are eating healthy spiritual food? Are you sure that you are not getting too little food and that you eat healthy food? This morning we want to study spiritual food. And the theme of the sermon is desire the sincere milk of the word. The text of the sermon, desire the sincere milk of the word, its necessity, its quality, and its taste. Desire the sincere milk of the word, its necessity, its quality, its taste. We have read from Peter's first epistle general. It's the so-called circular letter. This means that the epistle was written to several churches. At that time, there were no copier or email to send the epistle to all the churches at the same time. So what happened? The epistle was delivered to a church by a certain messenger. He read the epistle and traveled further to another church. Silvanus is the messenger of this epistle. He reads the epistle to the congregation gathered for this occasion and gives some explanation if needed. In verse 1, the churches are listed to whom the epistle is addressed: Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. They are all congregations in Asia Minor, nowadays called Turkey. They are scattered throughout. They live in an inhospitable area and suffer from persecution. Apparently, the message of this epistle fits well with each one of these churches. This doesn't mean that the epistle is less personal. This can be the feeling if you receive a letter which is also addressed to many others, leaving an impression that it is less personal. Just like an email addressed to many persons, and you see the big list of addressees, and it looks like as an impersonal message. But how different it is with this epistle. Though the same epistle is addressed to more than one congregation at the same time, the epistle is still very personal. Do you know why? Because the sender is the exalted Lord Jesus, who sends a message to the churches via his apostles. And he knows exactly the needs and circumstances of these churches. And therefore, he sends this epistle via the apostle Peter to provide spiritual food, namely the holy, pure gospel. And you must know that the power, authority, and validity of this epistle has not changed throughout the centuries. And maybe you don't expect a personal epistle from the Lord. But here we have an epistle written to you personally. The living God speaks to you through his word. It is his personal epistle to you. And the question is, what do you do with it? Maybe a flyer that is found in your mailbox will disappear in the bin unread. A circular via email is easily deleted by clicking a button. This should not be your response when you hear the word of God. It is from the holy God, your maker, who has written an epistle to you personally. And this epistle is about life and all things necessary to know. It is about a life that God creates and preserves. The word of our text, the words of our text are explicitly about this life. Peter addresses the churches as newborn babes. These are those who are already mentioned in the previous verses in chapter 1, verse 23, where we read, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. This is about men and women who have learned to become a baby again. A baby again. They are only just born. Newborn. What does this mean? Well, it's the same thing we call a new heart. You were dead, but now are alive. Once you lived apart from God and his fellowship, but by grace you are brought into the blessed communion with God. How? By God's living word. By the incorruptible seed. Maybe someone argues, well, if they are the addressees, then I don't need to listen further, since I don't know whether I am born again. And maybe someone else says, I know that I am unconverted. Do you know what you are saying? You say that you are still standing outside God's kingdom? You are still the same as when you were born? But you have no right to live unconverted any longer. The preaching is also addressed to you. This very day, the incorruptible seed is sown, the word that abides forever. And God's word is preached to you personally. Repent and believe the gospel. Seek the Lord. The preaching of the gospel is a means by which God pleases to grant new life. And those who know the Lord in principle and who cannot live without him but seek salvation with him are here called newborn babes. They are the ones in whom the Lord works repentance and faith. They all are admonished. They all are admonished to be desirous of the sincere milk of the Word. Peter uses the illustration of a newborn baby. And what does a baby eat? Well, he only drinks milk. Milk from the breast or from a bottle. And Peter admonishes the churches, desire the sincere, the pure milk of the Word. Otherwise you will not grow in grace. Milk. Doesn't that sound strange? Paul, in his epistle to the Corinthians, complains that they are still drinking milk instead of eating meat. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither you yet now are ye able. And also the author of the epistle to the Hebrews complains that the congregations had not advanced much on their spiritual journey. Ye are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Do these texts teach us that it is a sign of spiritual immaturity to be still desiring milk? No, they don't. When it is about progress in spiritual life, Scripture makes a distinction between milk and meat. However, the Epistle of Peter is about the necessity of spiritual food. And Peter compares spiritual food with milk, period. And every kind of spiritual food here is like milk. And what milk is for a baby, so the gospel is for believers. Milk contains all a baby needs. As a baby desires nothing but milk, so should everyone who is born again have a desire for the pure Word of God. Maybe you have seen a hungry baby. It cries and seeks for food. The mouth of the baby is open, and it head moving left and right, its head moving left and right, seeking the breast of mom. He desires milk. And the Greek word used for desire indicates an intense desire. It's a desire that is connected to the urge to grow. A baby will not be satisfied with being gently swaying back and forth. He will not be satisfied with a suitor, neither with just water. A baby has one urgent desire: milk, the pure, strengthening, and wholesome milk. And this picture should be kept in mind. There is something striking with this picture. Peter is admonishing the congregation to drink. Something you don't need to do with a newborn baby. He seeks for it automatically. Peter, however, does not say that the churches in Asia Minor. Peter, however, does not say to the churches in Asia Minor that since they are born again, that they will have a natural desire for God's Word. Maybe you wonder, doesn't a child of God desire the pure gospel? Yes, it does in principle. The person who is touched by God's Word and begins to taste something of the goodness of the Lord knows of a desire for the Word. God's Word is spirit and life to him. He knows of a desire for the pure gospel, since he has seen something of God's love in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. But that person is a natural man as well. And he is weak and feeble. He has little power, and moreover, he is still a sinner. And therefore, a person who is born again needs to be admonished as well. Even the most mature child of God needs this uncovering teaching. Listen to God's holy exhortation. Desire the sincere milk of the Word. A shocking message, don't you think? When a baby is delivered and it grows as expected, it will have a strong desire to milk. There is no need to tell a baby, "Come, baby, you should have a greater desire for milk." Spiritually, however, it is different. That all has to do with our misery. By nature, we have no desire for God and His service. Even after conversion, we must confess that there is no natural desire for God's Word. It is understandable that you must conclude that you have no true spiritual life, since you lack a desire for God's Word. A person who is born again will be desirous for God's Word. He cannot miss the Lord for a second. Believers long for spiritual food. This will be experienced in their first love. You drank in God's Word. You drank in God's Word, and the gospel tasted so sweet. But now these desires has ebbed away. And you conclude, "I was probably mistaken." You are afraid to deceive yourself. Well, listen carefully. A person who is born again needs to learn time and again that he has no life in self. He has no natural desires after God in his heart. The root of enmity comes to the surface again. And maybe you counter, "That means that there is no difference between unconverted and unconverted on this point." No, not on this point. However, there are differences. The lack of desire will bother a person who is born again. It will bother him. An unconverted can easily continue his life without any desire after God. A converted soul will complain and cry to God, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" The admonition of our text should compel you to a humble prayer. "Renew a right spirit within me. Lead me in thy truth." On the one hand, you confess, "I have stuck unto thy testimonies." And on the other hand, you bow your head and confess your natural inclination. "My soul cleaveth unto the dust." And pay attention to the Lord's fatherly care in this text. Look at the faithfulness of the Lord to people who are so unspiritual in themselves. He exhorts them, for he knows what they need. Do you let yourself be admonished by the Lord? Or do you think that you don't need such an exhortation at all? If so, then I'm afraid that you don't know what it is to live from grace alone. From grace alone. The one who lives from grace needs this exhortation time and again. And this is deeply humbling. And at the same time, this is so profitable for the soul. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Crave spiritual food. Long for the pure milk. What kind of food is this? What is meant with sincere milk? We will pay attention to this in our second thought, the quality of the milk. What's the sincere milk? Well, it's the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And only the pure gospel can strengthen and encourage a poor and hungry sinner. And the question comes to you this morning, where do you get your spiritual food from? Peter mentions two characteristics of milk. It is sincere, and it is related to the Word. It is sincere, and it is related to the Word. The Greek word that is translated Word is not the same found throughout the whole New Testament, namely the word, the Greek word, logos. The word used here occurs once more in Scripture, namely in Romans 12, verse 1. Romans 12, verse 1, where we read, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Reasonable service. Reasonable service. The same Greek word is translated here as reasonable. And Paul writes about a life in accordance to God's word. That is a life that is founded on God's word. A reasonable service is a service which is strongly connected to the Word. And when Peter says in our text that we should desire the milk of the Word, he means the spiritual food which has God's Word as its source. And there is no real spiritual food without the Word. Only the Word is able to nourish spiritual food, a spiritual life. And we cannot serve the Lord by our feelings, such as, if I have a good spiritual feeling, then all is fine. No, we should serve the Lord by using His own Word. That means that our mind and heart must be engaged in it. Generally speaking, the service of the Lord is a service with head and heart. What you hear and understand with your head needs to sink down into your heart. In this chapter, Peter speaks about regeneration by the Word of God. Faith is by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. God's usual way of working regeneration is by letting us hear the Word and processing it. There are exceptions. There are exceptions. Some people are not able to process the Word, like mentally disabled people. The Lord is not bound to the means. We, who are given a reasonable mind, are bound to the means. That is the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. The Lord works regeneration by means. It is also the necessary, strengthening food for someone that fears the Lord. The milk of the Word is reasonable. The gospel of free grace goes far beyond our reasoning. We cannot fathom it, but it can be studied. Spiritual milk is reasonable, and it uses our ability to reason. This is the way in which the Spirit pleases to work. He binds us to His Word. And keep this in mind when you sense and experience that the Lord is working in your heart. Experiential faith is faith that is always in line with God's word. And congregation, please examine your faith by the sincere milk of the word. Don't follow your feelings and thoughts, but the directions given by God's word. It is also sincere milk. Sincere milk. That means it is pure spiritual food. Milk can be diluted with water. It is a way to reduce the level of fats in milk. But the effect is that the nutritional level and density get reduced as well. The shelf life of milk also decreases, as added water is an invitation for many microorganisms. Of course, diluted milk will also lose some taste. Nowadays, we can choose 2, 1, or 0% milk. Food industry is able to add or delete from food certain substances. And by this way, by this we can make food healthier. Spiritually, we should be careful not to add or delete certain substances. And this happens. This happens when you listen to God's word one-sidedly. Then you take out certain truths from God's word, or you add some. What is spiritual sincere milk? It is milk with all its ingredients at the right level. All its ingredients at the right level. It is milk that also includes substances which we regard as less necessary or even undesirable. However, without these substances, it would no longer be sincere milk. Even the less desirable parts of the gospel are necessary for healthy growth. What is the sincere milk of the word? Well, it's the preaching of the whole counsel of God. It's about knowledge of misery, redemption, and gratitude. It is a gospel necessary to live and die comforted. And when you drink the sincere milk of the word, you will discover who you really are. You begin to see yourself as a sinner before God. And you humble yourself before the Lord, like Abraham did when he pleaded with the Lord for Sodom. Behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. Who am I to speak to the Lord in prayer? I cannot stand before his holy presence. The sincere milk of the word teaches you, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. And when you drink this sincere milk of the word, your eyes will be opened for the way of redemption revealed in the Lord Jesus Christ as well. You learn to spell the name given under heaven among men, whereby we must be saved. And by drinking the sincere milk of the gospel, you discover who the Lord Jesus is and what can be found with him. You receive a sight of him who is the Savior of hell-worthy sinners. He has come into this world for that purpose. And you discover that with him all can be found that you need. You discover that he fits so well with you and that he is most adorable. Love fills your heart because of his person and work. And when you drink the sincere milk of the gospel, you receive food for for thought, food for prayer. You receive grace to go from strength to strength. And you deny yourself and follow Him. And you want to walk in His way, the path of truth. And the question of this morning is, have you already drunk the sincere milk of the Word? What does strengthen you in life, in prosperity as well as in adversity? Are you still upholding your so-called spiritual life with some nice experiences from the past? Are you content with only some impressions, with some emotions? Do you prefer to listen to a preaching which only encourages but never uncovers you as a poor and needy sinner? A preaching in which you hear only about Jesus and not about God's justice and sovereignty? What kind of milk do you drink? Come, show the milk you drink. Do you prefer to change the substance of the milk to your liking? Or do you want the sincere milk? When you drink the sincere milk, you not only experience nice and sweet feelings and impressions, you will die to self. And nothing of self will and can contribute to your salvation. The pure, sincere milk leads you to the fountain of salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you have tasted the sincere milk once, then you are admonished to drink it again and to drink it only. And don't try to feed your heart with all kinds of literature which cover only some aspects of God's Word. You need to feed yourself with the whole counsel of God. And this means practically that you simply open God's Word and begin to read, reread, meditate, and do research. God's Word needs to be opened in the families. As parents, you should lead your children in devotion. You should take every opportunity to be fed by God's Word at home and in church. Should you not pray with the poet of Psalm 119, "Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Incline mine heart unto thy testimonies, and not to covetousness. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way." Congregation, this is what we need. Food, spiritual food for our immortal souls. And what a blessing if you drink from the source of life, the Lord Jesus Christ. If you know of spiritual growth through the grace and knowledge of Christ. How does this work? How do I get an appetite for the sincere milk of the Word? We have already heard that this milk is necessary and that by nature no man has a desire for this milk. Even if we are born again, there are so many roots of carnal desires left in our hearts, but with the good taste and desire for the sincere milk of the Word will fade away. We need the serious and lovely and sweet admonitions of the Lord. And we have heard that the Lord provides spiritual food by His Word, and that the whole counsel of God is the only true sincere milk of the Word. And the question in the third point is, how do we get an appetite for this milk? Well, only by the Holy Spirit. Because He works the desire for the only thing needful. He makes us to seek for the sincere milk, just like newborn babes are desirous for milk. This does not happen outside you, but inside you. Your mind and emotions are involved with it. Do you know what that means? That you will repent, because without repentance, there will not be any desire for the sincere milk of the Lord, of the sincere milk of the Word. So you need repentance. And without initial and then daily repentance, you spoil your taste for the milk of the Word. Without daily repentance, you spoil your taste for the milk of the Word. Have you noticed that? In life, the desire for the Word is worked by the Holy Spirit. But the lack of this desire is caused by us. And therefore, we should not act in line with our feelings or desires, since they depend on our mood. And our mood will never be the same. No, we should live from God's instructions. And God's Word commands us this morning, desire the sincere milk of the Word. And if you lack this desire, you fall short of God's glory. Not the Lord, but you are to be accused for the lack of this desire. But what to do if you lack this desire for God's Word? Well, you need to understand that this desire is a gift from heaven. You cannot work it up. You cannot merit it. You can only hinder it. And that is our guilt toward God. The Lord, however, admonishes us to desire as newborn babes. It is the Lord Himself who is able and willing to give you this desire, namely in the way of humble prayer. You should take refuge in the Lord, who alone can make you desirous for His Word. However, beware of the taste spoilers. Beware of losing your desire for God's Word. The context of our text explains the way the taste for God's Word can turn bad. First of all, by sin in the congregation. We read in verse 1, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings. Peter lists several sins regarding our attitude towards our neighbor, in particular towards the congregation. It has to do with our thoughts and speech. The outward appearance may look fine, but Peter is addressing the inward man, which is rotten. What type of sins? Such as having bad thoughts of others, feeling superior, being jealous, and gossiping. These are not abominations which come from the outside, but which dwell inside. And Peter says, lay them all aside. Do not only fight against them, but lay them aside. Have nothing to do with them. Don't put up a show. Let your behavior not be determined by others, but by God's will. Otherwise, you spoil your taste and you won't want to drink the sincere milk anymore. And then it will happen that the preaching doesn't taste good anymore. And you easily skip personal Bible reading. You are tempted to follow the desire of your natural heart. If this happened in the congregation, then it will affect the fruit on the preaching. The taste can also be spoiled by not tasting anymore that the Lord is gracious. That is what we read in verse 3. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. If so, can be read as a condition, but that is not meant here. We can also translate it to as sure as you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. When you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, you cannot but be desirous for the sincere milk. When you want to stimulate your taste for the sincere milk of the Word, you should remember what you have tasted before, namely that the Lord is gracious. And those among us who know the Lord, consider for a moment what you have tasted when you began to drink from the fountain of salvation, Christ Jesus. What did you taste? That the Lord is gracious. That the Lord is good. And He grants redemption out of free grace. Have you understood something of what David confesses in Psalm 63? Thy loving kindness is better than life. Be mindful of this. Ponder it time and again. And don't forget that the Lord has proven to you who He is. Otherwise you will spoil your taste for the sincere milk of the Word. The Lord is gracious. And the Lord has displayed this in a very special way, namely in the sending of His beloved Son, Jesus Christ. Isn't He very gracious toward His people? The Lord is very gracious. He is kind and good. He condescends and bows deeply over a sinner who is lost through his own fault. He is seeking those who are miserable on account of their countless sins before God. No matter how great their debt may be, as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. And with Him, you will find a fullness of grace for sinners who are guilty of death. Have you tasted His mercy? To taste something means that you have experienced it. You have experienced it. Taste and see that the Lord is good. If you know of this taste, then the Lord is not far, but nearby. The Lord is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, near to you, because the Holy Spirit applies the Word to your heart. And then your eyes are open to self and to the Lord and His grace. And this induces a greater taste for His Word. Faith will be strengthened by tasting the sincere milk of the Word. You will experience grace in abundance. When you grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, you will become increasingly smaller in your own estimation. And you sense the truth of God's Word. He must increase, but I must decrease. Meditate upon God's attributes. His good, endlessly good. He's endlessly good for bad people. Don't spoil your taste by suspecting the Lord of wrongdoing, as if He is not impeccably good. We suspect the Lord if we think we know better what is good for us. And that is the terrible pride of our heart. Have good and great thoughts of the Lord and little thoughts of self. Do you know the taste of milk of the word? How terrible if you don't know. If you prefer to drink milk that is not pure, but modified. The appearance might be the same, but the contents are changed. If you let yourself be fed by a one-sided gospel, then you will be left behind in grace. Or even worse, you will deceive yourself for eternity. The Lord calls you to drink the sincere milk of the Word. And He is able and willing to feed you with His grace, with the riches which will never perish. The sincere milk of the Word is offered to you in the preaching of the gospel. And if you continue life impenitently and die in your sins, then you are lost. And that on account of your own folly. Or do you not know whether you have ever tasted that the Lord is gracious, since you don't experience it right now? You are afraid to deceive yourself. You should go with your need to the Lord. Don't try to work up a taste for the Word by improving your lifestyle. You need to go to the Lord at once with your need and confess your unwillingness and inability. With Him, you will receive an appetite for the sincere milk of the Word. And do you know something of this miracle? As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. Grow in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Seek after more grace and knowledge of the Lord and Savior. And with this admonition, the Apostle Peter closes his second epistle general. Rejoice in the Lord, all those that fear the Lord. Or is your taste spoiled lately? Then the Lord strives with you this morning, since He has a controversy with your poor taste. Seeing He is gracious, you have no reason to desire anything else but the sincere milk of the Word. He calls you, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, because you are thirsty. Come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness." Do you hear? Hear and drink the pure milk of the Word. And if the Lord asks you about your well-being, what will be your answer? Are you healthy? Are you well-fed? Or do you lack some substances from the milk you drink? Then before long you will look miserable. Put the exhortation of the Apostle Peter into practice. Drink the sincere milk of the Word. Be fed, yes, satiated by all the benefits of Christ. Be satisfied to overflowing by the grace and person of Christ, so wonderfully represented here as the sincere milk of the Word. Amen.